sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, everyone said, praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice in it and be glad. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I remember one time my daddy gave me a spanking. He said, you're going to like it and be glad. But I didn't like it and I wasn't glad. But he said that. He thought that. But I'm here to tell you today, with the Lord here, we can rejoice and be glad. Amen. Can you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'm always humbled when I'm asked to speak to this precious congregation. I know that you guys have been a blessing for me. I was just recounting a little bit last night about how long it's been since we've been here, and how I judge a lot of things. And I look at McKenna, my grandbaby. Well, she's going to be 7 in September. We came here, she was 1, and so that's been 6 years we've been here, and you hadn't run me off yet, and I thank you for that. Amen. But you are a precious group of people, and I want you to know you're God's heart. And I know Pastor Rick loves you guys dearly, but I love you too. And we should all love each other. We had a wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning, and talking about loving one another. You know, sometimes we have to love the unlovable, you know? Amen? And so we just extend our love to them and love them in Jesus Christ. This morning, the Lord had laid a message on my heart some weeks ago. And it's relative to the area of faith. And I know that you have a lot of faith this morning, and that your faith is great. And you show that by coming faithfully to the house of God and responding to things that happens here. And in your giving and in your loving each other, you certainly respond in faith. But I want to look at a passage of Scripture this morning in Mark, the 2nd chapter. If you would turn there, please, Mark, the 2nd chapter. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 5, and then we'll skip over to 11 and 12. But I'm interested in something that that happened in this particular story in Capernaum. And you're there already? All right. I'm reading out of the NIV version. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that were there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing him on a paralytic, carrying by 4 of them, since they could not get him into Jesus because of the crowd. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and digging through it, they lowered the mat of the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, look over at verse 11. I'll back up just a little bit where he said to the paralytic, he says, I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home. What did he do? He got up, he took his mat and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." They had never seen it. But what I really want to target here is what happened when Jesus saw the paralyzed man. When Jesus saw their faith, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith. Now, I want to ask you this morning, what does faith look like? You know, and it's just a question I want to ask you while you think about it, and I'll try to elaborate on it a little bit. But what does faith look like? What was it when Jesus saw their faith? You ever thought about that? He saw their faith. Now, what does it look like? What does your faith look like? Now, the sermon title might be a little bit tricky. It's what an English teacher might call an oxymoron. On the surface, it sounds kind of contradictory. But can you see faith? Is there tangible evidence of faith? Hebrews 11:1 gives us the biblical definition of faith. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So what does faith look like? If we walk by faith and not by sight, what does faith look like? But Jesus, and it's indicated here, they indicated that Jesus saw their faith. So it must be something. I'm going to talk with you today about seeing faith and observing faith, and what does faith look like. There's faith all around us today. Sitting here this morning, we were singing the songs of Zion in faith and believing and trusting God. And the altars began, people began to come to the altar because something touched their heart in their faith. It wasn't just in the flesh, but it was in the spirit realm. You see, we deal in the spirit realm this morning. Amen? And you know, and we have physical reactions sometimes to the, what happens to us in the spirit. Now, I noticed Sister Vicky, she was shouting up here. She was having a physical reaction by about a spiritual experience. I understand that. Us old folks back in the day, we call that shouting. Amen? And that wasn't just saying, hey, but that was, a physical reaction. But anyhow, but you might ask this morning, what is faith? Well, faith, the faith is invisible. Faith believes the impossible. Faith receives the incredible. Faith moves the unmovable. And faith proves the unprovable. And that's what faith does this morning. You see, but preacher, we hear a lot about faith. We all talk about faith. We live in faith. But when faith deals with, excuse me, my throat's been kind of dry. I got a water down here. If I bend over and pick it up, I'm going to have to drink some of it. So I'm going to probably have to get that top off of it because I'm sure Ron didn't loosen it for me. So I might have to struggle for it while I put it between my knees and twist it. No, not really. But anyhow, faith this morning is believing God. Faith is believing God. It's in the unseen world. It's that world of the Spirit. We believe God. Faith is trusting God, but what is really the big deal about faith? Well, everything we have today is from faith. You know, everything we have. Now, let's move it to the acrostic. Let's say that we move it over to interpret it just as we faithfully believe it. Now, we walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. At least you're supposed to. Amen. Glory to God and hallelujah. And we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, worship in the Spirit, but we still live in a natural world. Amen? But every once in a while, I have to come to the house of God to get my cup filled again, to touch the Lord. You say, well, I don't always wait till I get to church to do it, but there's something different about when you come together with faithful believers and raising your hands, singing the songs of Zion, and magnifying the Lord together. And we have faith that God is going to move. Now, this morning I noticed Brother Ben said that, he said, God is not through yet. And he's mighty right. God is not through yet. God brought you to this place today for a special reason. You probably have something in your mind and your heart today in the area of faith that is just hasn't been working just right for you. And you've had some problems. You've got a mountain you've been trying to climb. I asked one of the brothers this morning, I says, do you remember that old song about I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain? You know, and this morning, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. But you know I'm climbing. Hallelujah. I'm climbing one step at a time. There's another old song. Just tell them when you saw me, I was on my way. You know, we don't all travel at the same place, but our destination is the same because of our faith in God. You say, well, Brother Sif, you just don't know the mountain I'm trying to climb. I said, but I'm telling you here today, God is faithful to you. Can you say amen to that? God is faithful to you. And if you'll just keep trusting and believing, He will see you through. This is a good place to praise the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen, amen, amen. When your loved ones in the hospital, we pray for them. We pray for their recovery. There's the prayer of faith. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, it'll be forgiven. You say, well, how can that forgive sins? Because they don't bother to come unless they want to be prayed for in faith, believing, because they know what the Word says. I understand that. And when I get prayed for and I come in faith believing, then God will forgive me of any sins I have committed. Has anybody here ever committed a sin? Oh, we get quiet now because wait a minute, Brother Seth. We've been living for God 927 years. You know, let me tell you something. I'm kind of like Paul. I die daily. Hallelujah. Because sometimes I have to get permission, get forgiveness for omissions and some commissions. You ever got angry? The Bible says anger, but sin not. How many of you done that? You know, hallelujah. But still, we walk in faith no matter what. Now, we pray for people. We pray that the prayer of faith saves the sick. But if you think about it, where does faith come from? It comes from God. It comes from God to us. God gives every one of us a measure of faith. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of people say, well, you just need just a little faith. No, let me tell you, that's not quite right. You know, because you just need the faith that God has given you. The Bible said God has dealt every man a measure of this faith. So if God measured it to you, that might just be enough for you to do what you need to get done. Amen. Of course, faith is like a muscle. Faith can be like a seed. You take a seed of a mustard seed and you put it in good soil, it's going to eventually make a tree. You see? So what you have God give you, you've got enough to get through. But you're going to have to cultivate it. You're going to have to plant it. You're going to have to water it. And you're going to have to take care of it. You put it in the sun when it needs the sun and in the shade when it needs the shade. But they say one plants, one waters, but it's God that will give you the increase. Can you say amen? Praise God. That's the idea here. Because your faith, it grows and gets bigger. The only way that we can get through to God is through faith. Because notice this, God will only accept faith. Listen to Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith. Notice that. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a what? Rewarder. You know, I like awards, don't you? Amen. I remember one time in Little League, I got an award for hitting a home run. Only home run I hit all year long, but they gave me an award for it. You know? But I got some base hits for that one home run. But I was proud of it because I had accomplished something. But see, what it is, he said he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The saints of God, let me tell you something. That diligently seeking him is not just, well, Lord, I need you today somewhere along the way, probably. Bless God, hallelujah, amen, and then going about your day. Every once in a while, we have to stop and seek the Lord. Seek Him that we may find Him. Pull off from your daily activity sometime and get in your closet of prayer and seek the face of God. If you don't, you're selling yourself short. Because God has wonderful things through you that you can claim through the faith that He has given you. And you can have the victory, walk in the victory, and be an overcomer. I love being an overcomer, don't you? Praise God. Amen. I like to accomplish something. You know, it's just, I even kind of hesitate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. Because, I mean, you know, forgiveness is getting permission, I guess. But I like to do something and see the conclusion of it and feel like I've done something. And, you know, for instance, like cutting the grass, but I don't have to cut grass where I live, so don't have to worry about that. So I did something real simple last night. How many has ever heard of Pretty Feet? It's a cream, okay? What do they call it? Exfoliant? Okay. All right. It's called Pretty Feet. And my sister gave my wife a tube of Pretty Feet. Because you know how women are, you know. But I said, I'm going to try that on my feet. I got in the tub. I soaked my feet, got them good and soft. And I got there and got that Pretty Feet. And this morning, I've got pretty feet. Hallelujah. And I felt good about it last night when I got through. Because look at me, I had to bend over to do that. You know? And when I got through, I was happy. My feet looked good. And I finally caught my breath and everything, which is hunky-dory. It was an accomplishment for me. And if you'd have saw them beforehand, you'd probably say, you ain't been bathing your feet. But it's just that dead, dry skin. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't. Because I know every one of you out here don't have pinky, rosy baby feet. If you do, you use pretty feet. Okay? But see, it was an accomplishment. And so it's like with us and walking in faith and living for God, when we walk victorious, when we pray and we see God move, When we ask the Father, anything you ask in my name in faith, believing, you shall receive. Of course, unless you've asked amiss, you know. And there is times that God says no. There's sometimes God's totally silent. So you might just better move on in what you're praying about to something else. And live in faith and walk in faith. You know, some people say that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. There's people who say there's no hope. Maybe the man himself would say, what's the point? I'm just an old cripple. I guess I'll just sit here and waste and die. See, that's the opposite of faith. How many, you know, remember that old song that some kids used to sing? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. Great big fat ones, itty bitty skinny ones. My, how they squirm, you know. But that's the opposite of what God wants you to live and what God wants you to do. You know, listen, there are people in here that's a whole lot younger than me and some is a few years older. But I'm here to tell you today, we move through the stages of our life and let God use us where we are when we'll let Him use us. But we all use the same faith that God has given us back at the very beginning. Maybe some of you here today are in that situation. You know, maybe you think, well, why should we be men and women of faith? Well, we need to be men and women of faith. You know, we should learn more about faith. Don't you think we need to learn more about faith? Have more faith. Learn more about faith. You know, when I'm going to buy something, I've got this habit of trying to research it and read about it. You know, and like if I buy another vehicle, I'm going to care if it's a new one or an old one, I find out everything I can about that vehicle and what it's going to be like and what I can expect. And if it looks like it's going to be breaking down every so often, I don't buy it. Amen? Amen. At least I try not to. But sometimes you miss. But still at the same time, we need to know more and more about faith. And let me be honest with you. I haven't learned all I need to know about faith yet. You know? I haven't. But why? Because now I've had enough to happen to me. You think, well, man, you ought to be able to write a book on it. Let me tell you something. I'm still learning. I'm like every one of you. I'm still walking in faith, believing. I'm on my way up the rough side of the mountain sometimes, you know. But I can see the view at the top because I'm looking up and I see the destination. And it gives me faith to go on and to live for God no matter how long it takes, no matter what my age is or what everything is about us, we can press to the top of the mountain. And every one of us win. Can you say amen? Real quickly, I got 3 points that I want to give to you. What faith does. First of all, faith will listen up. Anybody ever tell you, all right, listen up, everybody. You know, what does that mean? Keep doing what you're doing? Don't pay any attention? No, it simply means faith listens up. Now listen, Capernaum listened up. Because they heard that Jesus was on his way home and had got home, and they finally figured out where he was. He was in a house somewhere. And what was Jesus doing at that house? They had heard he come and he was there. What was he doing? Jesus was ministering and preaching in that house. What was he preaching? Jesus was preaching the Word of God. And you know, he says, well, he was preaching under the anointing, the Word of God. You say, where do we find that? If you'll look over in the book of Luke, the 4th chapter, I want you to notice something. When Jesus went into the temple, and when he began in the 4th chapter, he picked up a book and a scroll, and it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He began to read this. Because he hath anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners and recover sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And when you look over just a little bit, it said that he sat down and he said to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? All right. Now let me tell you something. Jesus said here, he said, I'm preaching the good news with the anointing, and it's fulfilled in your ears. We have lived long enough here in America, some of us that are here today, to see that we begin to see prophecies come to pass. We saw the reforming of Israel in 1948, and then we were several things throughout the history. It's like, I wasn't born in 48, but I hear a lot of things that took place since then that were part of prophecy and things being fulfilled in our time. And listen, saints of God, I believe with all of my heart Jesus Christ is getting ready to rapture His church. I see signs everywhere along the way. I see things happening around the world today. I see the greatness of America being diminished by those who are in authority and they're making us weaker and weaker and weaker and attacking Christianity and praising all the things that the world promotes today. And Christians are being killed around the world. Read the voice of the martyrs. Darcy and her husband, they minister in that. And I want to tell you something. When you begin to read it and read what's happening to the Christian church around the world, we're still blessed here in America. Amen. Nobody's going to come in these doors today and tell us we got to shut it down and can't preach the gospel anymore. But there are people over there that have died. And there's a woman that is expecting a child right now in Iran because she won't recant her Christian faith. They are going to execute this woman. Why? Because she's a Christian. You know, saints of God, we need to learn how to pray in faith and believe God and trust God. And I'm going to tell you something, but we're seeing signs all around us that the time is near. And the Bible said, is it the end of the world? No, sir, it's the rapture of the church, because it's a world without end, the Scripture says. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is going to come for His church, rapture His church from this world, and they're going to have an explanation of where we all are. If they'll just read the Bible, they won't need an explanation. We're all in the heaven shouting around the throne of God. But let me tell you something, saints. No matter what's going on, we've got to live and walk and listen to what the Word of God is having to say to us. And Jesus was preaching the Word unto him. Jesus was in the house preaching. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. So faithfully listen. Faith listens up. How do we get faith this morning? The Word of God. How do we receive that faith? The Word of God. How do we receive faith? The Word of God. Where does faith come from? It comes from the hearing of the Word of God, just what you're doing this morning. I'm doing my best to build your faith this morning. I want you to know that if you'll stand on the Word of God, let it be your sustenance. Let it be your guide. Let it be your daily bread. I promise you, your faith will rise. Praise the Lord, so your faith will rise. If you've got the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be removed, and it will go. I said it will go. Amen. So stay in the Word. The people of Capernaum went to the house. You can say it this way. They went to the house of God because Jesus was in the house. You know, when the Word gets out that Jesus is in the house, it'll fill up. You understand what I'm saying? When we get to the place where that we're so in love with Jesus, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll begin to draw. How's your faith this morning in what Jesus is doing? How's your faith this morning in his church and in the power of His Word? Where is your faith this morning? Can you say amen? Notice this. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. It was a full house. See, Jesus went to church. You know, Jesus went to church. And when he got there, he heard the Word of God too. And he delivered the Word of God. The Word preached the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. About verse 10 says, and the Word was what? Made flesh and dwelt among us. And while he here, the Word was preaching the Word. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for faith. But then there was four men came along. These probably men were men of faith. I would guess they were men of faith, because why would they bother to tote a man around and they didn't have any faith that anybody was going to help him? This man was a paralytic from his waist down. But that wasn't his only problem. He had more problems than that. He was a sinner. You say, oh, Brother Seth, how do you know that? Well, it says right there, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's a pretty good indicator. He was probably a sinner. Amen? And so he looked at him, he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. But what happened just before that? They went to the front door and couldn't get in. They went to a window, there was no place they could get in. The house was full and overflowing. You know, wouldn't that be a wonderful problem to have here? We had to get here at 4 o'clock in the evening to have a service because the house is full. I was at a church in Texas one time. I sat on the freeway feeder road for 2 hours waiting on the first crowd to get out so the second crowd can get in. And the police was having to be out there and helping us in and out. There were so many people there. Hungry for the Word of God. Hungry for the things of God. And, you know, it was really amazing. And every service, they had to use the overflow to have people. But they allowed the Holy Ghost to work in that church. They allowed faith to rise. And let me tell you something, saints of God, that Jesus was in the house. Hallelujah. Now, we don't have faith in faith itself. We have faith in Jesus. Will He do what He said He will do? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He said, if I go away, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you can be. Are you standing on that promise today? I'm standing on the promise. Don't take my rapture away. I'm sorry, there are people today that say, well, the rapture's not going to happen. Well, we're going to just move into the new kingdom. Let me tell you something. If I read the Word of God correct, I think the Word of God is correct. You can turn on your TV today and hear any gospel you want to hear. You hear the gospel of make me feel good. You know? Tickle my ears, preacher. We can fill the pews up if we just don't preach so hard. I got a preacher friend of mine living right here in the city of Thomaston. Some of his congregants are upset with him because he preaches the Word of God. You know? But he was there before they were there. And if they don't like it, there's the door. You know, that's the way it is. Because if you're going to preach the Word of God, preach it unashamedly and unabashedly, and let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. Give God some praise in this house if you believe that. Amen. Perhaps some of you recall the story as the man was let down. They began to tear the roof off. You know, I mean, that was something right there. Just getting up with the bare hands. What? I don't know how they did. I'm sure it wasn't CertainTeed shingles or something. But it was whatever they had that day. But they began to tear the shingle off and let the man down to Jesus. They went up to the top and let him down in there. And the scripture says, and when Jesus saw their faith. See, faith compels us into action. It makes an action. And when you start operating in faith, people come here and cleaned up yesterday around the house. See, they came, they was asked to come, but yet at the same time, they came because faith compels them and they want to do what's right for the house of God. Understand? That's the reason that some of them come and put in long hours, because they, not only does God give them the strength and the means to do it, but they come willingly because they know this is the house of God. Jesus is in this house, and we got to make it look as very best as we possibly can. We got to make it more comfortable as we can, because this is where people come to find faith. Can you say amen? And so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by that precious Word of God. You know, faith lifts up. Faith lifts up. Four men carried him. They led him down to Jesus. And the man being a sinner, he was crippled from his waist down, apparently. But I want to ask you something here today. Maybe you're crippled here today. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. You know, it's possible sometimes that we used to rejoice in the Spirit. We used to worship the Lord. We used to have a zeal for the house of God. But sometimes fear has crept in because something was happening that you didn't get the answer that you wanted right then, and you begin to let your faith slide a little bit. And then you don't find the thrill of coming to the house of God like you used to. You find yourself faced with fears. I'm fearing this. I fear if I go to church, I'm going to... Sister Jones, we don't have anybody named Jones here, do we, tonight? But Sister Jones, she had that old nasty coughing cold, and I sit close to it. I know that I've got it right now, so I'm just not going back to the house of the Lord until she's healed. That makes good sense, doesn't it? Yeah. But what I'm saying to us is sometimes we allow fears to come into our life that overtakes us, and fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. It's like oil and water. It won't mix. It don't work. And so we have to watch what we say. And you, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Some of you here today are paralyzed. Some of you today are having trouble, a whole lot of trouble walking. But let me tell you something. That's okay to get that way. It's just not okay to stay that way. And the scripture says these four men, they had compassion on this man. They picked him up. They carried him. Now, they would not have picked him up to carry him to Jesus unless they had some kind of faith in their heart that Jesus could help them. And so they picked him up. You know, sometimes we need to let our brothers and sisters lean on us. We need to walk with them, carry them for a while, pray with them, lift them up and love on them. See, that's what the church is supposed to do. You know? And you know, let the stronger help the weaker. The older ladies teach the younger ladies. The older guys teach the younger guys about how to walk in faith and live for God. That's what faith is faith is in action. You see the action of the faith. But faith, it lifts us up. And they had compassion. And they understood that this man's hope was only in Jesus, not in anything else. See, medical science couldn't help him. They didn't have the means or the knowledge or anything. They couldn't help him. And so they knew that Dr. Jesus was in the house. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You know, here was a man who couldn't get in there. But I look at a woman with the issue of blood. Remember that story? The woman with the issue of blood. She had spent all her money. This man didn't have any money to start with, probably. He was dirt dog poor. This woman spent all of her money trying to find a remedy to stop her bleeding. And she couldn't be found. But she heard Jesus was coming. And what did she do? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Now that's faith in action. I don't even have to touch the master's hand. I don't even have to touch his feet. I don't have to touch any part of his body. Just the garment that he wraps himself in. That's faith. And the scripture said that she pressed her way in her condition through the crowd. And finally she touched it. And when he did, Jesus says, who touched me? Oh, listen, tell you something. Jesus is saying to some of you today, who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched the hem of my... They said, oh, Jesus, now come on. Now, you know that nobody can tell you who touched you because you're in the middle of this crowd. He said, no, I felt virtue go out of me. He felt healing go out of his body. He felt a restoration going somewhere. And finally, she confessed, it was me. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go! Hallelujah! Let me tell you something this morning. Saints of God, you might have a problem this morning in your body. You might have a problem in your heart, a problem in your life, a problem in your mind, or anywhere. But God is able to deliver you if you will let Him do so. Exercise that faith that He gave you from the beginning. Amen. Glory to God and hallelujah. You know, today we live so far beneath our privilege in Jesus. We live, you know, some of us, we have saving faith, but we don't have living faith. You know there's a difference. But faith is faith, but we know, okay, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved. We know that. We understand, okay, then the Lord saves us. Well, why can't we can't believe God for everything else just that simple? You know? Do you need healing for your body? Believe God. You need a help with your family? Believe God. Trust God. Hold on to God. There's a thousand things that we need from today. And everything that you have is from God from the very beginning. So keep trusting, but He wouldn't have given it to you to start with unless He's going to take it away and replace it with something better. You know? It's just like a child. You know, I love my grandbaby. I'm sorry if I keep referencing her too much. I know she's a ringtail tutor. I know that. I know that. She's got her grandpa's blood in her. And grandma's blood and my son's blood, God help her. And when I see her in a situation that I don't want her in, first thing I do, I spring to my feet and make it better. You know, I don't want her in certain situations. And if she's eating something I think that's not good for her, then you know what I do? I'll take it away and I give it something better. Now it comes on, it goes under protest. But I said, I kind of like Mr. Monk. Well, you'll thank me later. You know, but still, it's because I love that child, and I don't want any harm to come to that child. And no matter what happens, I want her to be under my canopy of faith and live for God until her parents get saved and have their canopy. But right now, she's under my canopy of faith, and I pray with her and teach her the Word of God and do what a parent should be doing, but I'm a grandparent. And you can only do so much, but I'm going to tell you something. The one thing my son has not caught on to, that daddy knows how to pray. Daddy knows how to touch the hem of the master's garment. Daddy can tell when something's going on when it shouldn't be going on. He told me last night, I said, son, what's going on? You know, what's going on? He said, what do you mean, Daddy? I said, don't fool with me. I said, I talked to the Lord. The Lord's already told me something's going on. Are you either tell me or he's going to tell me? He said, well, I guess I better tell you. You know, why did he call me at 1 o'clock this morning? And because he knew that he needed help. He needed somebody to pray for him. He needed somebody to, you know, I said, well, Jeremy, if you'd walk in faith and live for God, you wouldn't have to call me when these things come up. But I'm glad that you chose to call me because I'm going to help you. You know, why? Because I got faith. I know God moves. And the Lord will tell parents something long time before kids are going to get, well, just don't tell mom and daddy about this. You know, Lonnie, we already know. Don't get over your little self, you know. We already know, especially prayer warriors know. So, children, get over yourself. You think you got something. And Jeremy says, Daddy, he says, my stepdaughter is doing some of the same things I did. I said, did you learn anything when I was working with you on it years ago? He says, well, I should have. I said, yeah, you should have. You wouldn't have to call me if you remembered the lesson, you know. But hey, what do? You go ahead and go through it with them again because you want to get them to the place where they can walk in faith and live for God on their own. I buried my daddy two months ago. I've never been without a daddy. I'm 62 years old. Don't know what it's like to be without a dad, but I do now. But I do know this, the things that I learned and was taught coming up in the house of the Lord and being brought up in a Christian family, it burns in my heart all that much more. As I try to pass it on. Teaching your children how to pray. Teaching your children. McKenna, she prays at night with us, and sometimes she says, I want to pray tonight. And sometimes here's the way her prayer goes. Well, God, we had a good day today. I played on the swings. I went to the fountain. I ate a bunch of good food, and it was all good for the most part. And see, some things non-pop cook I don't like. But I mean, this is how she'll pray and she'll talk. But that's coming out of her heart. And she said, now, Jesus, wake me up in the morning and let me get going again. In Jesus' name, I love you, Jesus. You know, we wouldn't pray a prayer like that, but a child does. And they communicate with God on their own level. Don't ever push your child to communicate beyond their reach. Amen. Let them to find God as you direct them. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. Well, God's going to make a way. God's going to make the way for you. But you know, sometimes faith looks foolish. No. Yeah. Remember Noah? Noah built the ark on a dry land, and it took him 100 years to build it, and everybody laughed at him the whole time, said, Noah, you old fool, we're going to sit out here and watch you work today, and went on for 100 years. You know? That looked foolish to the world. But to know it wasn't because he had heard from God. So you know you have to be careful who you hear, what you hear, and what you're listening to. Remember David and Goliath? Oh boy, that was foolish. Sent a kid out to a giant and only give him a slingshot and 5 smooth stones from the river. You know, that looked foolish. But God sent him out there to do a job. Let me tell you something. If God sends you, he'll equip you. Amen? God sends you, he will equip you. So he took him out with 5 smooth stones. I've heard 2 or 3 stories on that. One of them is that Goliath had 4 more brothers. And so a stone for each one of them. But also, heard it this way, 5 stones, J-E-S-U-S. You know, and with Jesus, all things are possible. Can you say amen? But then we remember the little boy with the sack lunch. Remember the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and 5,000 people. That was foolish. Men alone, yes, us, men, it's not counting the women, you know, but and the children. So it could have been easy 15,000 people there to feed them. And still going to feed them. Listen, if he could feed 5,000 off of that little raggedy lunch, he could feed 15,000, 20,000, how many he wanted to. But he had them all set down. And that's when I started panicking because I said, where is McDonald's? Where is Hardee's when you need them? And for goodness sake, they was keepers of the law, so they didn't have a piggy park. You know, they didn't eat pork. Praise God for piggy park. Amen. But there was no piggy park, no McDonald's, no Hardee's, no restaurants, no anything out there. But when Jesus began to bless it and break it. And then when they got through, they had, I think it was, what, 12 baskets full? After it was all over, that was one for every apostle, wasn't it? But what I'm saying to us is that it, sometimes it just looks plain foolish. I've heard of people, my parents, my grandparents, when they were building a church over here in Thomaston years ago, they walked out on a lot that didn't even belong to them, claimed it for the name of Jesus. Now, you and I would have been too embarrassed to do that, but they didn't have, they were basically ignorant people, uneducated people, but they knew that what God was telling them to build a church, and so they just walked out on a piece of land that didn't even belong to them and said, we claim this in Jesus' name, put up four stakes, and got inside, put a string around it, and started worshiping. 3 weeks later, the owner gave it to them. You see? Because, and they built a church. Church still sitting there today. It's a Baptist church today, but thank God there's a church there. Amen? So we walk by faith. Some things look foolish to the world, but they're not foolish. But there's faith that leaps up. When Jesus saw their faith, their belief was made visible. Belief became a behavior. Behavior is visible belief. You know, when I look across this church, I see a lot of faith. I see a lot of faith. You're here today because of your faith. Thank you for being in God's house today and honor Him with your faith. You say, am I honoring God today? Absolutely. And the people were amazed. Can people come here and say, I am amazed at the presence of God in this place? That's what you want. That's what you want, people to draw. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. See, these people, they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen it like this. They were amazed because they saw faith. They saw that it happened. You know, that's what faith looks like this morning. That's what faith looks like. And I ask you this morning, what does your faith look like? As an individual here today, does your faith listen up? Do certain things spark you to listen? You know, sometimes I there'll be two TVs playing in my house, and I'll be on the internet, and I hear something said on TV just way off in the distance, just a little bit, but I'll jump up and run and see what it's about. Especially if there's anything related to faith, you know, and I'll jump, and then I'll go back to the internet and see if I can find it on the internet and read it again. You know, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You do. And so anyhow, but what I'm saying to us is that faith listens up. Your faith is going to listen up. And you have faith. Does your faith lift you up this morning? Let me ask you that in closing this morning. Does your faith lift you up? Somehow, some way, I've got to get to Jesus. He's made a way of escape. He's made a way of victory. Oh, I wished I could feel like I did when I first got saved. You can. You can even feel better because now you know what the feeling's all about. Now you know how to live for God and you can walk in faith. What do people do that don't know God when the trials come? I know when my dad was passing away, I had spent the night with him the night before. And I had my foot propped up on the bed there so he could touch me if he needed me. And so he grabbed my foot and shook it. He said, boy, get up and get me out of this bed. And I said, well, Daddy, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm positive. I want to get out of this bed. I can't stand it no more. He got up and he walked. And I walked behind him just kind of making sure he didn't fall. But he walked. He kind of had his little walk. He walked like this. He got over to the table and sat down, ate a big breakfast and everything. And then about 4 hours of sitting there, he said, well, I'm going back to bed. He went back to bed. And he says, I had told him, I says, you know, your cousin Bill has passed away. He said, I know it. And he said, I'm going to see him soon, you know. And so he got back in bed and never left that bed again. We moved him down to the den, which was much bigger. So there were many people in and out of the house and our family. But we began to sing the songs of Zion. We began to worship. And the power of God just swept in that room that day. And we had a lot of families do. We've had a little riff in the family. None of y'all know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. Has been going on for some time. And the Holy Ghost prompted me when I was standing there next to my dad. I said, there's some of you that need to repent before God and repent to each other.
And I says, and the problem is not going to die until you do it. And I says, and you all know he's ready to go. And I says, now, some of you need to repent. I said, in the name of Jesus, God bring conviction. And all of a sudden, two or three of them began to fall on each other's toes. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Began to weep and to cry before everybody there, and got things straightened out. And I says, well, now let's begin to sing. We began to sing again. My sister was singing. Several people were singing. We was all singing together, and some of us sang individual songs. And we began to just have a good time around my dad's dying, but not deathbed. We were just rejoicing. You say, well, Brother Seth, why wasn't you praying for healing? Because it was his time to go. He was ready to go, and he wanted to go. Amen. And so I wasn't going to ask, Lord, heal him, raise him up again just to be sick again. I don't think so. But what I did, we began to pray, God, let your will be done, and Lord, receive him into your kingdom. And we began to pray and worship, and the Holy Spirit was there every step of the way. And finally, he drew his last breath. But just before he drew his last breath, Daddy looked up, looked straight up, and he began to look back and forth like this. And he began to smile. I leaned over, I said, Daddy, you see something we don't see. And all of a sudden, just about 5 minutes later, he winged his way to glory. See, I believe he saw the angels come after him. He sent the holy band after him. And we sang that on the side, and the angels singing on the other side. Oh, we had a good time. No, it was sad. Don't get me wrong. We really hated to lose him. But when we got to the funeral, some of you were at the funeral. It was a good funeral, wasn't it? That wasn't a funeral, was it? It was a homegoing. It was a homegoing. You know, and I had a lady come to me after. She says, Brother Seth, she says, I want you to preach my funeral. This precious black lady. She says, the blacks, they draw it out. You know, she said, but y'all got to it quick. You know. Because see, there was nobody left there. That was the body. The body didn't make any difference. You could burn it, bury it, do what you want to with it. But my dad today is in glory, and he's rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you know what it was? It was because he had faith. And he taught it to us. Now you here today, I know that the hour is getting away from us. But I want to say this. If your faith is lacking this morning, you don't have to leave this place with your faith lacking. Because now you know what faith looks like. All across this congregation, there are people that can stand up and begin to tell you how miraculous healings, miraculous deliverances, when they should have died, they lived. You know, because they had faith in God. I got this one more story I'm going to tell you. I had a preacher friend of mine that was in World War II. He's about 90 years old now, I guess. But I heard him testifying. He said they was what they call a pill box. Somebody was shooting at them. Some Germans were shooting at them. He says, we had to get down to that about foot of that hill. It was imperative. That was our orders. We had to go. And he said they would send one guy out, and he wouldn't get very far, and he was shot dead. Send another guy out, and he was shot dead. And this guy, he said, Lord, now I didn't sign up to die in the army. He said, I need you to help me here because I know I'm called to preach. And he says, when he was standing there, he was next in line to go out praying. He said, the continent of Africa came up in a vision just before him. And he said, this is where you'll finish your days. And he said, well, good, because I'm not in Africa. I'm in Germany right now. Yeah. And he took off down that hill, run down the hill, done a shot was fired at him. He lobbed a grenade inside that pill box. And you know the rest of the story. The man, he died on the mission field for the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel in Africa. Amen. Amen. Can we stand together? God bless your heart today. Let's just raise our hands and love the Lord. Can you just raise your hands and love Him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Lord, I'm telling you, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best. I'm going to make it in. But there's another song that says, just tell them when you saw me, I was on my way. Hallelujah. I'm on my way, praise God. I'm on my way. And it said, if you don't go, it's not going to hinder me because my mind is made up. You know, the saints of God this morning, you can make it every step of the way if you totally trust in Jesus Christ. Let that be your faith. Let Him be your banner. Let Him be your guide and your master of your life. Amen, amen, amen. If anyone here this morning would like to come and just renew your faith, then these altars are open. And you can come and receive everything that you have need of this morning. You don't need to go from this place lacking. Praise God. You ever been to the grocery store and only had a certain amount of money, but you needed more than what you got? You know, and said, Lord, I just can't do that. Well, you can't do that here today. You come here, I don't care if you don't have a dime in your pocket. You can walk away from this place rich in the Spirit of God. You can walk away in the anointing. You can walk away with everything that God has for you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Are you here? You want to just let the Lord touch you? This is the place. This is where faith is found. This is it. Because you've heard the Word this morning. You've heard the Word this morning. Are you on your way? Praise the Lord. Lift your hand if you're on your way to heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Seth, I just don't know. Oh, let me tell you something. It's so simple. It's just so simple. Brother Adams was telling about a man on the battlefield that he read an article about it and said that this young man, he says that a grenade exploded close to him after he had dove on it to keep it from killing a friend of his. And he said it blowed his mouth off and just made a big mess. And he couldn't even stick his tongue out because he just couldn't even feel his face because most of it was gone. But he had told him that he said the last thing that happened between when it exploded was I said, Jesus, forgive me. You know? So how quick does it take? A grenade can explode not near as fast as Jesus can forgive. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. But if you're not walking in faith this morning, you're living beneath your privilege in Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a great big clap of praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I want to tell each one of you, thank you for being in the house of the Lord this day. You could have been somewhere else, but you're not. You're here. And we want to also say that we bless our soldiers. We remember those who have fallen. And we pray for those who are on the battlefield all around the world today. And Lord knows we got them in every country. But we know today we need to pray for them, lift them up. And some people are trying to throw God out of the military, but as long as there's battles, there'll always be God there. Amen. Because I've never seen an atheist in a foxhole. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, turn to your neighbor, shake their hands, bless them, and let's just walk on this week in Jesus Christ. God bless you for being here.